Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let me start reading from verse 1 for the sake of rounded understanding. I'm not very ready for a very serious evening. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now, reading the words of Paul. Now, speaking, he said, "And I, brethren, came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Now there's a quality I want you to notice there. There is man's wisdom has the tendency of being enticing. I'd like for you to pay attention to that word. Let's look at it again. Verse 4. It said, "And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak the wisdom." We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What there is the word mature. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, the reason why we have to go further with this text, please pay attention, is that the place of searching the wisdom of God, this hidden wisdom, all right, is in the Spirit. Are you with me now? Where do we search? Say it again, in the Spirit. Say it again, in the Spirit. So our human mind can't find it. See, you have to understand that. If you are going to walk in God's wisdom, your spirit must be more alive than your body. You must understand. And by your body, I'm talking about your flesh, the Adamic nature. Not flesh as in the unruly nature of sin. Not flesh as in bag of meat. Do you understand that now? Now, all right, let me show you a scripture so you can understand. Let me show you a scripture. Hebrews chapter number 5, start reading from verse 12. We go to verse 13. Hebrews 5 from verse 12. Now, Paul speaking there says, "For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Yes, verse 13 now. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." 14. "But strong meat belong to them that are full age, even those who by reason of by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, the word sense here, all right, is the spiritual faculties. The same way you have your five senses in the physical, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, sense of sight and all that. You also have your spiritual senses. For instance, one of your spiritual sense is the sense of perception. Do you understand that now? The sense of what? Perception. To perceive a thing, that is for a thing to enter into your spirit long before they happen. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you say, I perceive in the spirit, it is close to what a physical man will say, I smell. Are you seeing that now? All right, so you have your spiritual senses. Now, listen, the highest your human nature can function with is your human senses. That's the highest. The things you see, the things you hear, the things that touches you. Are you seeing that now? But we are in a world where most of the things that God wants us against cannot be seen with the physical eyes. Sometimes when people see death in front of them, it is too late. But a man of the spirit can perceive miles ahead. You see that now. So it is also a form of senses that brings up information in a realm beyond the realm of the natural man. I'm going somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure you follow what I'm saying? Good. All right? So if you are going to walk in the realm of God's wisdom, you need to walk beyond your five senses. You will have to be in the spirit. You will have to walk beyond your what? Five senses. You will have to be where? Say it in the spirit. Say it again in the spirit. Say it again in the spirit. Now let me show you a few things about walking in the spirit. Galatians chapter number 5. The book of Galatians chapter number 5. Please follow me closely. If you are there, say amen. Now look at this verse. Galatians chapter number 5. Now let's jump a bit. And let's go to verse 16. Galatians 5 verse 16. Now look at this. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the word lust there is the word desires. Now the human nature, Adam, has its own cravings, has its own desires that oftentimes are anti the plan of God for your life. For instance, if you look at the book of Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible talks about Eve when she saw, when the serpent, all right, told her about the fruit. The Bible says she said to herself that this is a tree good for food, such that one should desire to make one wise, and she took of it and ate and kept for her husband. Before she ate, she desired. Nobody falls into a sin they have not desired. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello, hold on. Hold on a minute. Listen. David fell into the sin of adultery because he desired Bathsheba. Do you understand that now? He went ahead to kill the husband because he wanted to conceive his sin. You cannot fall into what you have not nursed, what you have not desired. So the Bible said, this is the wisdom for a man who is going to be a man of the spirit. You see, you can't say, I'm trying to not fall into this temptation. I'm trying to not fall into that temptation. I'm trying to not make this mistake. I'm trying to not look at that girl. He said, walk in the spirit. It is one instruction that saves you from many struggles. Many of the struggles you have is because you are not charged in the spirit. Those things, before you desire anything, you see them. You see that now. They appear and they become a desire because the desire of the spirit is not there. When you walk in the spirit, you will have the desires of the spirit. I'm showing the wisdom of God. Somebody say the wisdom of God. Say it again, the wisdom of God. Say it again, the wisdom of God. Say it again, the wisdom of God. Walk in the spirit. It's as simple as that. He said, you, look at it. This I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not, not you may not. As long as you walk daily in the spirit, you will not. All right? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at what the Bible said in verse 17. It says, for the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. So if, now listen, look up everybody. Now let's compare this scripture. Galatians 5 verse 17. Put it side by side with 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Galatians 5 verse 17. Put it side by side with 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Alright. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10. Now let's look at these two scriptures. Alright. While they do that. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10 says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us by the Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Gosh, am I losing you here? Can we have some concrete teaching? Now, follow me, I need you to follow me keenly. If you can understand this, you will walk in a realm that will marvel your colleagues. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I need you to listen to me now. Now look at it. Verse 9 says, it is written, eyes had not seen, nor ear heard. So it means the things that God has prepared for me, it is not in the realm of senses. That's the meaning. So when the Bible says eyes have not seen nor ear heard, that doesn't mean what God wants to do for you, it has never happened before. That doesn't mean that. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes the conclusion we have is that eyes have not seen. So when people believe that, then they live a frustrated life. Because what that gives you is a sense of superiority. That, just like somebody is about to get married, or somebody is, maybe you are single, right? If a guy is single, and the guy says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared. Who you want to marry? Say, spirit. Eyes have seen, ears have heard. Praise God. I'm trying to give you proper Bible interpretation. When people believe in the wrong way, they have wrong expectations. And when there's wrong expectation, there's frustration. Okay? What God wants to give you, let's say for instance as a spouse, exists. In fact, somebody has given birth to her already. Okay? She's somebody's ex, probably. The chances are high. Worst case is that she tells you, well, not a serious relationship, but so what God wants to give you is not coming, is not falling, is not falling from heaven. Even rain is not new. As the rain and the snow will not return back to heaven, but it waters there. So it returns back, then fall again. Are you seeing that now? It waters the head. That may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Are you seeing that now? I want you to understand in context. What God wants to give you, what God has prepared for you, your eyes have not seen it. That is, you cannot stand and guess miles ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has a plan. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard.
It has not entered into your imaginations. That is, as long as you stay in the realm of sight, in the realm of your hearing, in the realm of imagination, you can't see it. How then do you see it? Be in the spirit. The Bible said God has prepared these things. He has prepared them. They are ready. For them that love him, he has prepared them. But I love what Paul said in verse 10. Now I'm going somewhere tonight and you need to follow me. Now verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. So listen, look up everybody. Look up. Somebody says, eyes have not seen. Come on, say it now. Say, eyes have not seen. No ears heard. Say, eyes have not seen. No ears heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for me. If the Bible stops there, then you are expected to be a novice as touching his plan. But the Bible said, but. Hello. You know where we stop? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into imaginations. What God has prepared, there is a but. There is a but. If you don't have a but to that statement, you are a natural man. It says, but God has revealed them to us. I could not see it by my physical eyes, but I saw it by the eyes of my understanding. Somebody say, but God has revealed them. What is the them? His plans. His desires for us. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth? Can we read verse 11 in a simpler translation so you can understand? Let me read in verse Good News translation. Say, it is only our own spirit within us that knows all about us. In the same way, only God's spirit knows all about God. That's verse 11 now. Now, look at verse 12 now. Verse 12 says, I'm still reading in Good News translation. It says, but we have not received this world's spirit. Instead, we have received the spirit sent by God so that we may know all things that God has given to us. This is the reality. That is, the degree to which we know is the degree to which we walk with the spirit. So what does it mean? Now, what was Paul saying in Galatians 5 now? Let's compare these scriptures. Stay with me. So what was Paul saying in Galatians 5? We start reading from verse 16. So what was he saying there? Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen to this. Look up. Nakali, come. Stand here. Stand here. Now this is it. This is the man that is born again, saved. Pastor Toby, please come. Okay. Minister, I promise you come, please. Stand here. Please, yes, thank you. Now, this is a new man in Christ. Okay? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the thought of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But they have been revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay? No one knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man. The same like man, and no one knows. All right, the Spirit knows things of the Spirit. Now, this is it. The things that God has prepared for us are revealed by what? By who? The Spirit. How then do we walk in our God-given inheritance? By walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to walk with the Holy Spirit. Now, Bible says, when you do this, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, this is Mr. Flesh. Okay? But if you pay attention to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Now, look at it. We speak the wisdom of God among them that perfect, yea, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that comes to naught. So it means as long as I walk with the Spirit in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the desires of the flesh that will make me walk in the wisdom of this world that comes to nothing. But when I walk in the Spirit, I will walk into my God-ordained inheritance that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, but revealed by the one I'm to walk with. There is no future or inheritance unless I walk in the Spirit. That is the wisdom of God for fulfillment. Now, why is it important? Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? Don't forget, it is important to walk in the Spirit because the limitation of the natural man is his five senses. As far as sense in itself is concerned, the carnal man is reduced to the five senses. Or the natural man is reduced to the five senses. What he can see. What he hears. Now, information get out before information get out. First, there are announcements in the Spirit. Hearable only by a man in the Spirit. And if you know anything about information, you know that there is something called the time value of knowledge. Gosh. That is, the same thing will not always be relevant because the time might have passed. How do I explain this to you? Are you aware that in the book of Deuteronomy 8, the Bible refers to God as the one that gives us power to get wealth? Huh? So, how does he do it? There are things that takes place in the Spirit and God reveals them to us before the world will come to know them. A man who is not walking in that realm will lose out a billion times over. All that Pharaoh could see was a dream. Now there was a need for a sense beyond that dream to bring it to pass. In fact, that he has seen it doesn't mean that he will not be a victim of what he has seen. He could be a victim. But there is a need for a man who has tapped from a realm, all right, of intelligence beyond the five senses, all right, that goes beyond just interpreting to show you where God is standing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I am going to fulfill destiny, the only way out is to walk in the Spirit. Because the things that God has prepared for me, they can only be searched out by the Spirit. They can only be understood when I'm in the Spirit. Every time you walk in the flesh, you get confused. Anxiety, fear of the unknown is a sign that you're no longer walking in the Spirit. Every time you step out of the zone of the Spirit, you'll be confused. But if you walk in the Spirit reveals the deep things of God. You can't walk in that realm and be confused. Confusion is not normal. Oh, I'm just confused, it will go away. It won't. Walk in the Spirit. That's the wisdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to bring back this illustration. Sit down for a moment. Let me show you something. Now, stay with me. That's 1 Corinthians. Said 1 Corinthians 2. Go to verse 6 now. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. Said, albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. And I showed you on Sunday that there is the wisdom of this world. Let me give you an illustration. Okay? Somebody say there is the wisdom of this world. Say it again, there is the wisdom of this world. But the Bible said this wisdom comes to naught. Look at it. It said, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Now, we must understand that. The word nor, okay, is also the word or. So what the Bible is saying is that the wisdom of this world is actually supplied by the princes of this world. So let me give you an illustration now. When Ahab was walking by whatever his estate, and he saw a property belonging to a young man called Naboth. And he said, oh wow, I love this property because of the proximity to the palace. I would love to have it. And Naboth said, this is an inheritance. It is family inheritance. It was passed on to me. I'd love to pass it on to my children someday. And the Bible said, Ahab went and he wept. Okay? And he wouldn't eat. And Jezebel came and said, why are you weeping? And he said, because my heart desires the vineyard of Naboth and he will not sell it. And what did Jezebel say? Jezebel said, go and eat. Go and sleep. I will get it for you. By what wisdom? By what wisdom? The wisdom of this world. And for you to know how demonic, you see, that level of wisdom is actually another form of supernatural, but it is demonic. How did she think about getting people to lie against him and getting killed? As far as Jezebel was concerned, she had gotten the vineyard for him. But the Bible said it doesn't matter what you achieve by the wisdom of this world. It comes to nothing. That is, you may get it, you will not be the one to enjoy it. What wisdom is it in people going for rituals and they will tell them you won't live long? What wisdom is that? It comes to naught. And she gathered the sons of Belial, the Bible said, and they lied against Naboth and they stoned him to death, and she took his vineyard and gave it to her husband. But the word of the Lord came. The same way you have killed him, dogs will lick your blood. You see that now? Dog will come and they will lick your own blood. Judgment will speak. Now we know what happened when God anointed Jehu and he went with the eunuchs and they threw her down. All right, from the top of her building. And I can't understand what happened, but as she fell down, her blood scattered everywhere. Did she achieve what she wanted to achieve? Yes. But it came to what? It came to what? Nothing. That's what happens. That's what happens when, you see, smartness is a level. Wisdom is another thing. Where smartness ends is where wisdom begins. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, wisdom does not necessarily have to appear smart. But wisdom gets the job done. It is ordained for our glory. Not the wisdom of this world. Not the wisdom of the princes of this world. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you know that there are many ways in the flesh to get the things you want to get? Talk to me now. Why do we wait on God? Because every other means that is outside God will not last. Let me give you an instance. Abraham and Sarai didn't have a child. And one day, Sarah spoke and said, maybe God is going to give us a child through my maid. And let me explain that custom. It was a very brutal custom where the mistress owns the male, the maid, and any child the maid gives birth to. So the idea was, you just get pregnant, carry the pregnancy, give birth to the child, we collect the child. And she said, maybe God will give us a child through my maid. You see that now? But let me ask you a question. Who spoke? Who spoke? Huh? Talk to me. Who spoke? Sarah. All the times God was speaking to Abraham, was Sarah there? The one who is not hearing God will hear the devil. The one who is not here. And that's why, you see, in marriage, the one who keeps ascending and leaving the other one behind, the one you are leaving behind will draw you back. The idea is to move together so you can hear God. And Sarah said, maybe till today, the world has not recovered from that one suggestion. The wisdom of this world always bets trouble more than you can handle. Do you understand what I'm saying? It bets what? Problem. I can go on and give you examples. More than the examples. People who thought they could outsmart God. When in the early church, people were selling their possessions and they were bringing to the church and they were living as one and sharing the things that they had. And Ananias and Sapphira thought in their heart to hide a part and then appear and say that this is all they sold it for. First thing first, it was their money. First thing first. So they could actually have spoken the truth. True? And say, we kept some apart because we have a project. This is what we can give. Because, I mean, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. But they came to lie. And the Bible said they tempt the Holy Spirit. With what? Not by just keeping a part aside, but by lying. By lying. But the question is, did they leave to spend the money? The part that they kept aside, who spent it? Talk to me. Who spent it? Talk to me. Who spent it? We don't know. When Gehazi ran after Naaman to get change of raiment, to get honorarium from Naaman, that was his own wisdom. That at least let me start getting settled bit by bit. True? But at the end of the day, who enjoyed those raiment? He couldn't. A billion times over, the wisdom of this world comes to nothing. Listen. Anytime the devil is giving you suggestion, he tries to give you the impression that yours will be different. But if it is the wisdom of this world, the result is the same. The devil tries to give you an impression that you are special. So if you make this, if you live in this sin and do this and all that, you also be different. But no, it's not going to be different. It's never been different since the day the world began. It won't be different. Cain killed Abel. He thought that was all. But the blood of Abel cried out and God judged it. You must understand that. The wisdom of this world always comes to nothing. Always. You see, until this one becomes a revelation, you will never see need to submit for the wisdom of God. You have to come to that place of awareness. There is no other way. I can't outsmart the spiritual system. If anything I'm doing will end in glory, what's the route? The wisdom of God. What's the route? What's the route? The wisdom of God. A billion times over. The wisdom of God. See, when David took Bathsheba, it was a perfect plan. Well arranged. Alright? Well arranged. The moment she said she was pregnant, he knew what to do next. The fact that you know what to do next does not mean it is by the Spirit. Have you seen people who don't have to think before they lie? Ask them something. They don't think to lie. The lying spirit is there, ready made. The next thing to say will come and it will align. It will meet with it. When you hear it, I say, this can't be a lie now. Are you for what I'm saying? David was a smart person. He knew what to do. If the husband can come and then sleep with the wife, they will not know. It was not in the days of ultrasound. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody is marking EDD, expected date of delivery. Nobody is marking all those things. If somebody gives birth early, they will say God has brought it. Give birth late, they will say God has brought it. Don't worry, we'll package this one. He invited the guy over, gave him an holiday. From war front. The guy came, sat down, say eat with me. Luxury he has not enjoyed before. The guy ate, did everything. David said, now you can go home and go with your wife. The Bible said the guy slept at the front of the palace. He slept at the door. The following day, David heard he didn't go home. He said, why won't you go home? I mean, I'm the king. I gave you permission. Go home. Uriah said, Joab, my master, is in the field. The ark of God is in the tent. How shall I go into my wife? What advice will you give Uriah if you know what was coming? Just go. But was Uriah wise? Talk to me. Huh? You see, if you are always thinking about immediate gratification, forget wisdom. Choose foolishness instead. Immediate gratification is not He got the guy drunk to let you know the plan was perfect. And he, just one night. Do you think David will say, go home to your wife? Unless, if he has not had discussion with Bathsheba. Talk to me. Let's think about this. Do you think that was the moment he will get home and Bathsheba will be giving mood swing? Or some funny vibe? Talk to me. She was waiting. They've arranged it, organized everything. Just enter. I know what to do. If you can get him to enter this door, I will get him. Arranged plan. They got the guy drunk, even in his drunken state. He was at the door. What kind of a guy was that? God had to preserve his name. When they were reading the genealogy in Matthew, when he got to Solomon, said the wife, Solomon, the child of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, whom David slew. The name had to be immortalized. And as I read my Bible, I was asking myself, David and Uriah, who is really a man after God's heart? It was grace that chose you. You are not the best. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Grace! Perfect plan. So when that plan didn't work, David thought, since this plan didn't work, I mean, if she's a widow, nobody can say that why have you married a widow? So let's make her one. Immediately, you know, it didn't take 2 days. That same day, he knew what to do again. I'm still insisting that you know what to do next doesn't mean it is God's wisdom. He knew what to do. Wrote a letter. And in the letter he wrote there, put this guy where the battle is fierce, where the valiant men are. Then let the valiant men withdraw from him. You know, Joab must have read that letter and look at the poor boy and say, ah, this is a walking corpse. And I mean, as a soldier who had to obey the last instruction, he said, okay, you are a special guy now. You are going to be fighting in a special place. And the guy was surviving it. And when the valiant men, he has informed everyone, when the battle gets fierce, pull back. And while Uriah was busy fighting, they all pulled back and they struck him dead. Plan sealed. Until God showed up. There's a man in Israel. He has several sheep. And he has a neighbor that has one. He has a guest. And he left his own sheep and went after his neighbor's own and killed it. What should be done to such a man? He should be stopped fivefold. The man should die. And Nathan stretched his hand. You are that man. You are. And David tore his clothes. Do you know that that child still died? That child still died. See, sometimes what you are trying to get in a crook way is still yours. But wait for God's method. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes what I use the word sometimes. Sometimes it's not yours. You must understand that. Sometimes what you are trying to get in a crook way is still yours. God actually plans to give you. He wants to give you. But you must trust his method. He has a plan that you can't plan. He has a route you have not thought about. He has his own intentions. Let me come a bit to a level. Do you know God can tell you a lady is your wife and you meet her in a relationship? Now I've lost you. I'm not confirming anything for anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to say, it's supposed to say, I'm just saying, do you know sometimes? Do you know sometimes God can tell you that somebody is your spouse, maybe male or female, and the person is actually in a relationship. And you may be around and they begin to plan wedding. And even send you heavy. Now, my spiritual father shared a story with me. God already told him that Mama is his wife years before they even met to start a relationship. About 10 years before they ever dated. And guess what? She was actually going to marry somebody else. They've done their intro. How do you feel when you're in that case where somebody God said, this is person, and you know this is God. I know what I've heard. And now they've done introduction successful. And God did not change his mind. He didn't say something else. Now they now have a little friction. And that one of them is now trusting you with the friction. And now the fellow so trusts you that anything you say, they will do. As a friend, that this is what is going on now. And you are feeling this is my best time to strike. Dear David, don't strike Saul. That's not the way to be a king. If the throne is yours, it will come. The God way. You see, the temptation to do it by with the energy of the flesh will always be there. You can be in a church and they are introducing your wife about to marry someone else. It looks like what I'm saying is scary. Like, apostles don't go there. Don't go there. But it happens. Talk to me. It happens. God knows how he orchestrates his things. You didn't start it. You can't, with your own wisdom, make it better. You find it out. Then you cooperate with God. And one of the ways to cooperate with God is to enter into rest. Somebody was talking with me and telling me about certain individuals that are going to get married. Let me just put it in quotes. And I looked at the picture and I looked at the picture. And I said, this guy is going to serve this girl breakfast. Everything set. Introduction done. Everything done. I mean, I'm not a prophet of doom. I just said what I perceived. And the week of the wedding, he served that breakfast. There is somebody somewhere who thought he didn't hear well because the wedding was announced. It is not done until it is done. I want to say something very important. I know how delicate what I'm saying is. I know how delicate it is, particularly among young people. You see, sometimes God says a thing that there's no human route to get it. Every attempt to do it humanly will corrupt and destroy it. When he says what looks impossible, rest. That's the wisdom. Rest. God, I don't know, and I know I'm not mad. I don't know. I know this you, okay? Not me. You are God, and I submit it to you. I enter into rest. So don't go attend somebody's wedding because you say you thought God said this. And you are waiting for the day, the moment they want to say join rings, you're waiting for the woman or somebody to fall down. That it won't happen. Now God can speak and human best will refuse it. God will go ahead and settle you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, we must follow God to a point where what he says, we believe regardless of the contradictions. Regardless. I said regardless of the contradictions. I said regardless of... So, but this one, don't now go and say somebody's wife or somebody's husband. I'll say, I know God said that's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. Is that simple enough? I know I had that nudge in my spirit to bring this illustration up. Sometimes you may even be in a setting where people have said, oh, she said yes. And there's somebody there who is posting, oh, congratulations, but that's the husband. It happens. The issue is because some people can't enter into a rest, they jump out of God's plan. You see, and they miss God. And they miss Him in a very big way. In a very big way. You won't miss God. I say again, you won't miss God. I say again, you won't miss God. Now listen, there is the wisdom of this world. And I said to you that one of the major characteristics of the wisdom of this world is that it is self-preserving. It is self-preserving. It thinks about self. It attempts to suit or satisfy self. Now let me show you something. When Abraham saw that there was strife between his men and the men of Lot, what did he say? He called Lot, right? And he said, well, so that there will be no strife between us. He said, this place can't take us anymore. You look to the right or to the left and pick anywhere. He said, if you go to the right, I will go to the left. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. And pick a location and move. And the Bible said, Lot looked at the well-watered garden, the well-watered land of Sodom. And he preferred it. There was specification to tell you where the decision came from. It was in the sense realm. Something can be glorious, but something can be beautiful, but the end of it is destruction. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it is death. It looks right. Now, hold on. Look up, everybody. Look up. Let me, Minister Promise, come. Let me give you an illustration. Now, look to the back of this auditorium. Can you see the back of the auditorium? Because it's a bit dark. But look to this side. What's the white stuff standing there? That's an air condition. All right. Who is seated there? That's my wife. Who is this? Akali. Everything you see when you look is what is present. Now, look at tomorrow. Who's standing there tomorrow? You can't see tomorrow. Knowledge only captures the past or present. It is wisdom that deals with the future. Now, listen, because you are not in the future, submit to the one who is there. When Lot was speaking Sodom, he did not know it would be destroyed. He did not know that the habitation will perish. There will be no good memory of it. He did not know. He thought because it was nice, it will always be nice. And that's the way some people make decisions. The fine boy will not always be fine. The fine girl will not. That's the truth. Yes. I said that's the truth. One of the most painful things about going back to old sites for me, maybe old school, old this and that, is that you meet people that were better in the past than now. That's one of the most painful things. You meet people that were actually better in the past than now. Don't marry somebody who is better in the past. Hear God. Don't choose based on looks. When Eliab stood before Samuel, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is here. Why? Because he's tall. He looks like a king. But it's not about height. It's not about the stature. Do you know when I was younger, they used to call me tiny? Sometimes they will say it's as thin as broomstick. But that's not the future. That's not the future. Again, look at tomorrow. We're standing there tomorrow. Look at the next 10 years. Who is dead or alive? I am saying you are limited. Recognize it and submit. That's why when you are not walking in wisdom, it's called foolishness. How can you not submit when you obviously don't know it? How can you make a decision about the future you don't see and neglect the one who sees it? How can you make a decision about the future you have not got into, that you have no idea of, based on externalities, and ignore the counsel of the one who is there, the one who knows the future more than you know the past? A man of wisdom values God's opinion. That's the only way we have security. That's the only way we are secure. I said that's the only way we are secure. I said that's the only way we are secure. That's the only way we are secure. Tell your neighbor, rest. Tell your neighbor again, rest. Tell your neighbor again, rest. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let me show you a scripture there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse 16. No, let's start from verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 15 now. Says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, for though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Have you seen people who talk like they are the one who is in charge of tomorrow? Get up on your feet, everybody. Let me give you a word of assurance in case somebody has spoken about your future like they are there. Who is it that says a thing when God has not spoken? Who is it that says a thing when God has not said it? You know the song?
Iru Olorun mi o si ayere ti eleya ni bole fi toluwa si o ojo lo su de 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 a o ma mo bi to ma ro si o eniyan arun ni pe
e ma ku iya
You are called to be me.
You are called to be me.
You are called to be me. That
bar on it be oh,
queen. You call the room. You call
Now hold on a minute. I'm about to show you a scripture, so you can understand the reason why we had to sing this song. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, do you understand what I'm saying? Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3:10. Quickly. Ephesians 3:10. Now look at this. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It means at a level, I am the display of God's wisdom.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
and you have not seen my future yet. So how do you speak like one who is there? Now let's look at this scripture in Good News Translation. Can you give me Good News Translation or Message Translation? Oh, thank you. It said, in order that at the present time, by means of the church, the angelic rulers and powers in the heavenly world might learn of his wisdom in all its different forms. You look at a man, it looks like he's gone. And all of a sudden, God brings him up. And there is hope for a tree, though it be cut down. If the stump remains in the head, at the scent of water, it springs back again. The devil can't comprehend this wisdom. The wind bloweth, we hear it, the sound thereof. We know it not where it listeth or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God hid his wisdom in people. The lives of these people, you can't understand. You can't box them to a corner. You can't predict them. It looks like it is over. But it is the wisdom of God that accepts a grain of wheat first fall to the ground and dies. It abides alone. That case that looks like they were dead is actually the beginning of a new life. At a level, this is it. Don't rejoice over me, my enemies. Don't rejoice yet. And somebody wants to scream that loud and clear. It is not over! God is just getting started. He's just starting with me. My story will never end until I sing the songs of victory. My story will not end until I sing the song of victory. Hold on a minute. Now everyone are talking. Oh, he used to have it. What went wrong? Look at Job. He lost everything in one day. He has sinned until they saw when God replaced sevenfold. This is the wisdom of God. Even angelic rulers marvel. That just when you think that's the end for them, you discover, what is this species of people called believers? My life is a display of God's wisdom. My life is the display of God's wisdom. You cannot conclude about my tomorrow by what you see today. Only wisdom grasps tomorrow. Woo. Hallelujah! Woo. Glory to God. Now listen, hold on a minute. No one can predict you. Because the best of God is not in the past. The best of God is in the future. The best of God is not in the past. The best of God is in the future. You are just getting started. Even in that lowest zero state. Can I show you what zero state is? Matthew 5 verse 3, Message Translation. Look at what zero state is. See, there is nothing you can do against these guys but for them. There's nothing. Matthew 5:3, Message Translation. Oh, hallelujah. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. That is, even when you call, this is the lowest phase of my life. I'm so finished now. The Bible said you are blessed. It said, with less of you, there is more. So if I am finished, so it can be more. It can be more. Oh, glory to God. I said, oh, glory to God. Oh, they say he has failed again. Things are not working again. But God is just getting started. Oh, glory to God. You see, you must understand this. The reason why sometimes it looks like the light is not shining on you. It looks like, why is no one understanding and seeing how good I am? It is because God hates these things. You see, if your life is the display of God's wisdom, it will take somebody who is in God to search it out. Don't complain and start crying that people who are not spiritual hate you. They can't even see. They can't even see. They can't even see. They don't know who you are. There are people who are fighting you today that will regret tomorrow that they fought you because they should have been a part of the big thing God is doing. But in the days of carnality they did, you must forgive so you not be blind also. That those who are fighting you speak in tongues doesn't mean they can see. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Lift your hands and say, I am just getting started. Say, I am just getting started. Oh, glory to God. Can we sing that song? Yeah. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God.
Oba tongbe ku ala dura o tishe. Oba tongbe ku ala dura o tigwa o.
Minute. If you're going to walk in this wisdom, you can't write anyone off.
Yes, sir.
You cannot make conclusions based on now. You have to consult the one who knows tomorrow. The one who is there, who has been there before you will ever get there. Sometimes you walk past a church. And you look at them, what's this new ministry just getting started? Two people. Didn't God call you guys? I can't worship here. And that's the opportunity of a lifetime God has given that fellow. Be a part from the scratch. The future is bright. You cannot walk into glory if you make conclusions based on now. And no one can conclude about your life because you are just getting started. This is not the best of God. I said the version of you I'm seeing now is not the best of God. I said the version of you I'm seeing now is not the best of God. Sit down for a moment. Thank you guys. Please be seated for a moment. Oh, glory to God. Because, I mean, that song just kept ringing in my heart. Olorun ko tabi eniyan haro ni pin eniyan fira ewe olorun a je are niya o iwo ko lo dami iwo ko lo bi mi iwo ko lo mi dagba haro ni pin o kuya. Who is it that speaks when God has not said it? You better don't give up on that vision God has given you. Because those that will frustrate you, I'll be the first to insult you. Stay with it, my friend. Stay with it. The vision speaks at the end, not at the beginning. Stay with it. What God has placed in your hands will work. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will work. We feel we wear fine suit today. Nobody so will take start. Now, but repose we they do. I'm telling you fact. Forget about people who speak like they don't have a past. Yemi Kings will sit down on system. Convert my gray suit. The gray suit that he got from his elder brother, that got from his dad. That same gray suit will be converted to yellow, to blue, to pink, whatever. And people will be reaching out and say, I'm trying to do men in suit for so. Can I borrow that your suit? Ah, the suit is on Photoshop. Nothing speaks at it. And by the way, this is not even the end because, of course not. Just getting started. Say, we are just getting started. Stand up, everybody. Look around. What do you see? What do you see? Now you must see with the eyes of the Spirit. What do you see? What do you see? You cannot see unless you function by the Spirit of wisdom. When God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, it could not have been the five senses. The five senses could not have captured Nigeria. There is limit to what the eyes can see. I'm asking again, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? You see, do you know the reason why? Hold on a minute. Give me Hebrews chapter number 12. From verse 1, sorry. We go to verse 3. Hebrews 12 from verse 1, verse 3. Oh, Yakush, the friend of Ashita. Now, seeing therefore we are compassed, we saw a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Verse 2 now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It's so, meaning that even Jesus had to see something to endure. The reason why sometimes you look at, now people come to ask me and say that, what was it like the days that Spirit of Life Church was struggling? I mean, this church is not struggling. That's the truth. I can tell you, I know the season that if you see 10,000 naira cash, that's a breakthrough. Oh yes. My first salary that church said we can begin to honor him now was 35. And that's not 1960. Just recently. And that 3-5 was everything. It was everything. To buy Spark, Pepetera. So when you come to any of our branches that is just kicking off and you see some empty chairs, does this look like a church that nations will not come to? What's your problem? Can't you see? Does this look like a church that nations will not come to? I see pastors from all nations of the earth. Oh, praise God. I said, oh, praise God. For the joy set ahead of me, I endure. People are asking me, how did you go through? So I didn't even know when I went through. Because a joy was set ahead of me. Oh, praise God. Lift your hands. Say, my life is the display of God's wisdom. Say again, my life is the display of God's wisdom. Now, sit down. Let me show you something. Let me show you a scripture. Do you know that Jacob labored for how many years to get Rachel? 7 years. What did they give him? Leah. Then he said, What would you have felt if you were Leah? He said, I will go another 7 years to show you how much I don't want you. I would rather go another 7 years. And he went another 7 years. Have you sat down to analyze the children given birth to by Leah and Rachel? That sometimes the stones that the builders reject. Even Rachel, that he went there for 10 years, didn't last with him. She died. she caused problem before she even died. My God. Somebody saying, do you know that girl is single? Say, if she's the last girl in the world, I'd rather die. Because you've not seen it. The glory of God. Don't make conclusions. Don't make conclusions. Even Esau and Jacob, let me tell you, even Esau and Jacob, of course, prophecy has gone ahead. Jacob, God has chosen him. God did not choose him based on partiality. He spoke as the one who knows the end and knows their kind of choices. That's where he spoke from. Is that okay now? But, I mean, the mother didn't send him. But in their lifetime, who was the wealthiest? Esau. Yes. In their lifetime, he moved from despise to a life of value. The Bible said he cried for it with tears. What did Jacob do with the birthright? 14 years wasted for a girl. It took his bones being broken for him to now. He was too smart in himself. He had to cry. I will not let you go unless you bless me. He didn't get it by crook means. God had to. You know, when I read that scripture, it's real to me. And the angel of the Lord asked him, what is your name? Jacob. He asked him again, what is your name? Deceiver. What is your name? Deceiver. That's what you have been manifesting. Your name will no longer be called deceiver, but Israel. For as a prince with God, you become. He saw it. It's not by putting some skin on your body and deceiving. You can't get what is by grace, by crook means. Hallelujah. What God has prepared for you is coming. Rest. Your life is designed to confuse people who are carnal. Your life is not designed to confuse just the enemy. Those who don't know God will miss you. Do you know what I mean by that? People want opportunity, but you are that thing, and they will miss it. Later, say, how did I miss it? Because you saw today, not tomorrow. Somebody said to me, he said, do you think you can ever amount to anything in life? Speak based on today. A pastor called one of my friends when our ministry started. I said, I like you, but you see that boy called Femi Lazarus? That thing he's doing called ministry. He said if the thing survived 6 months, God didn't call him. How do people talk like that? How do people talk like that? One time we're going to have a program. I invited him to come. He couldn't come. Because that's about 5 years after what he said won't survive 6 months. Survived. And thriving. One of these days we had a meeting that we have thousands of people in the meeting. And one of them called one of my sons. He was boasting and eating his chest. He said this thing, he said his ministry. He laughed. We put him in front so he can be close to see the glory of God. We won't fight you. And you are not an enemy. You only spoke out of ignorance. We love you. Don't fight those who didn't see what God is doing. Your life was actually designed to confuse the enemy. If you were another person, you will miss you too now. Who would have predicted that somebody like you will become what God is planning? If it was by sight, would they think it will be you? If you were to check in your family, the one that God will use, will they think it will be you? You that you go and take me to this airport? Would they have thought it will be you? What was your position in secondary school? Would they have thought that you are the one that will graduate? Talk to me now. What do you see? This thing is not by sight. It is not by human preference. When God chooses a man, he has chosen the man. That's the fact. I remember one time, as young people in church, we were preparing to have a stage play. I mean, that was the way I knew to serve God then. Bless people with my gifts. And just as we put on our costumes about to enter the church, a pastor came and then removed his son from amongst us. A pastor. I said, look at the people you are following. Your mate are in higher institution. Look at the people you are following. Painting your face here. The pastor said that to his son. We were the ones who went to higher institution. You know, I ministered in my childhood church 50 years anniversary. And when myself and my wife went there to minister, I mean, there was so much security, so much protocol, so much this and that. And they did something quite funny. And they asked us to be doing some what looks like a slow, first took us around, saw the pictures of the general overseers before. And then we had to be walking down and then cameras were following us. You know I'm not for all those kind of stuff. But I remembered how that in this same church, they will say, take him away from choreography. His hands are too stiff. This one can't do anything. And when you come to that same place to be the major voice to bless in the 50 years anniversary, to say this is the word of the Lord for this house now, let no one conclude about anybody. I mean, I used to shiver and shake because of maltreatment. I'll be shaking. I go to church. They'll put me one side. Sometimes my face with blood, being bruised. Then you come to that same place with your wife and speak. Healings are taking place. Uncountable number of healings. The future is always trapped in small things. The future of the forest is a seed. 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 Don't look down on anybody. Bishop Oyedepo and Mommy Faith Oyedepo met at bus stop. Nobody can talk to me on the road. Don't you know how to be polite? Better calm down. Praise God. Lift your hands. And say, thank you, Lord, for my life. Come on, say it again. Thank you for my life. Your life was not designed to be understood in a hurry. It is a display of God's complicated, multifaceted wisdom. It is a display of God's multifaceted wisdom. So don't blame people for not understanding you. Don't blame people for not getting you. Don't blame them for concluding and judging. Don't blame them for hating you. Wish them well. Pray for them. Pray for them that you wish they understand what God is making out of your life. It's okay for people not to understand it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everyone. Sphere of Light Church, let me speak to you. This church is designed to be a sign and a wonder. I said this church is designed to be a sign and a wonder. I said this church is designed to be a sign and a wonder. A display of God's complicated wisdom. Don't look at us like this. God is making us a city in every city. A city in every city. I said a city in every city. You must understand it. You must understand it. It doesn't matter how, in quotes, fine what you see now is. It is a very funny throwback. And just when I know that today is the throwback of tomorrow, I do today well. And I do it with swag. So when we throw it back, you know it was an intentional past. Not mourning through process. Oh God, when will this church go? Will you keep quiet? And just sit with it. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. Oh, praise God. Don't blame people for not understanding you. If you were them, you will misunderstand you too. That's the fact. You forgive, you move on. Don't wait for them to fail and say because they didn't understand us, that's why they crashed. No way. Even Joseph will not be trusted with the throne unless he forgives. Because God still needs to preserve the 12 tribes. Sometimes you are the one God used to go through all that. Because he trusts you with the tribulation. He trusts you with the tribulation. That you are the one who can go through it and yet forgive. Don't wait for a way to get back. And show them that those of us you thought could not become anything, look at us. That's foolishness. God is lifting you to serve. He's lifting you to be a blessing. The wisdom doesn't end when you become great. You must serve with the greatness. That's the purpose of the lifting. He still wants to use you to wipe away the tears of your enemies because he loves them too. But he will put an hedge around you so your life cannot be touched. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, my life is a display of God's wisdom. And that wisdom is not always in the immediate, it's in the future. The best of God is not in the past. The best of God is not in the past, it's in the future. There is no way my best is in the past. No. There's no way. See, sometimes when I sit with people, I look around and laugh. And I say, time is coming that these people will say, those days with the apostle. Enjoy it! A time is coming that standing directly in front of you like this, teaching, will be luxury. And you will not be missing.
Yes, amen.
That's the prayer I pray for all of you. As we rise, you rise. This ministry doesn't throw men away. As we rise, you rise. Have you been blessed tonight? Lift your hands and give God praise. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Thank you. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for your life as a display of God's wisdom. Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA